The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two for numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt, Tom, check in for Kelly Bidlin. Kelly will be back on Monday, right? We have this on good authority?
Sources have told me yes.
Sources have told you yes.
I don't want to reveal my sources, but yes.
Still to come this hour, Stormy Bonatoni in studio. Talk XFL with us. Looking forward to that. Stormy, the co-host of the Lombardi Line. She'll join us here on her way to Circa to film a commercial, right?
Yeah, the What's the Guarantee one?
What's the Guarantee?
Yeah.
Last time they made her do a zip wire. I wonder what they'll make her do this time.
That's true. That was a good one. I like that one. Even though I saw it like about 100 times.
Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke to talk baseball with us. You don't want to put him on a zip wire. I'll tell you that right now. And then Nick Whalen from RotoWire. We'll talk NBA with him here momentarily. Real quick, though, before we do that, Las Vegas Review-Journal, Todd Dewey has written a piece on the NFL draft. Todd Dewey, who once upon a time decided to take a break from journalism to do an article on me and the Westgate and our dispute, but is back at journalism now. He is quoting a lot of sportsbook operators around town regarding booking the NFL draft. It's actually pretty fascinating. Because, again, we had Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha here at the South Point, on a couple weeks ago saying, I'm not booking it. You know, last year I said that out loud, that I'm not going to do it again. Remember, last year the draft was in Vegas, so a lot of people made the exception. And he was like, you know, 16 days out at that time, he was like, I don't really plan on doing it. And so far, they're not going to do it here at the South Point. And he took a lot of incoming for that. Well, he's not alone. And this is my point. And it's like, good for Chrissy for being honest and being a man about it. But this is in Dewey's article at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. This is Caesars Sportsbook Assistant Director of Trading, Adam Pullen. Quote, it's not a matter of if you win or lose, it's how much you're going to lose. Dewey points out that sportsbooks here in Las Vegas have lost on the last six NFL drafts, or every year since the Nevada Gaming Control Board approved wagering on the event in 2017. This is from Jay Cornegay over at the Westgate. Quote, the first word that comes to mind is heartburn. It's my least favorite event to book. I'm not a big fan of taking bets on information events rather than actual sporting events. This is all based on information, and it's frustrating because others get information before we do. It's becoming unpopular with bookmakers. I'll say. And again, I pointed this out. The only three books in town that have any NFL props up, Boyd has four up, Caesars has five, Stations has about 27. That's it. Those are the only three. Cornegay goes on, there was a good chance we were not going to do it last year, but because it was held in Las Vegas, we decided to post it. There's a chance that we might not post the draft at all at the Westgate. Circa Sports Director of Risk Chris Bennett said the book plans to post some props. And by the way, Jeffrey Benson, nicest guy in the world, but Charles Oakley on Twitter, the enforcer, he does say that they're going to put up some props at Circa this weekend at some point. But Chris Bennett says, you know, I'm not enthusiastic about booking the NFL draft or any other sports league for that matter. It requires constant attention once it's open for betting and your expectation of winning money is almost non-existent. There it is, just a smattering from the article. Yep, that's where we are. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some NBA. Nick Whalen from RotoWire joins us. Always thrilled to have Nick on. He's a senior NBA analyst and host over there at RotoWire. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen, but replace the L with the number one. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing great. Good to be here talking some NBA. Got a very, very busy weekend ahead and yes. A fun slate to recap last night as well.
It sure is. And let's start with the recap of last night. Specifically, I said something in the first segment, which is the just absolute mishigas with the flagrants that were doled out yesterday where Embiid only got the flagrant one. Harden gets a flagrant two and gets bounced. Claxton gets bounced later for taunting. So I said out loud, I'm like, listen, the Embiid thing is interesting because even though he only got a flagrant one and stayed in the game, the NBA can review this and they could say, you know what? And especially because of the Draymond Green backdrop, right? They could say in order to appear more consistent, especially in a three nothing series in a best of seven, because they're not gonna really upset the nature of things. They could say, let's suspend Joel Embiid. Shouldn't people be betting, taking the Nets plus the points in game four because of all that?
I would be pretty surprised if they suspended Embiid. I think there's not much precedent for, you know, jumping a flagrant one to a flagrant two and then adding a retroactive suspension to that. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if they moved it up to a flagrant two, And the implication there would be, okay, he accrues, you know, those flagrant points that stick with you throughout the playoffs. You know, if you think back to 2016, the most famous example of this, of course, Draymond Green, when he was suspended in the NBA Finals against Cleveland, it was not specifically because Draymond Green, you know, took a punch at LeBron James' groin. It was because he was called for a flagrant foul and already had points accumulated, and that act put him over the limit. So I could see the NBA doing that, you know, Embiid carrying those points on to the next round. If there's another incident like this, you know, all of a sudden it becomes a situation where he has to be careful, kind of like when you pick up, I think it's the 16th technical in the regular season. You know, you're basically on thin ice after that. But now I'd be surprised if Embiid suspended, but I was shocked that he wasn't kicked out, especially like you said, in light of the Draymond Green situation. I mean, that was the biggest story in the NBA for the last 24 hours. We get a pretty similar situation early in the Sixers-Nets game. And yeah, I mean, not only is Embiid not kicked out, but again, maybe he gets a fine. Maybe they jump into a flag or two. But even in light of Draymond, I don't think he gets suspended here.
Because to me, you can't adjudicate the result just because he missed the privates of Nick Claxton, right? Like, if he hits him in the privates,
right,
you're out, period. It's not even a debate. If Claxton is writhing in pain on the floor, this is not even a conversation. But because he missed, suddenly it's a flagrant one, like the whole thing. By the way, and just back to the Draymond thing, you're right that it's an accumulation of points, and in that sense, it's mechanical. But they went out of their way, Joe Dumars did, to say, you know, he didn't use the term Lifetime Achievement Award, but I do like to call it that, where he's like, this is a history, right? Well, okay, I get that. That's part of it as well, and Embiid doesn't have one. But you just, like, the appearance of this is so bad. Anyway, just a theory. We'll see if it indeed happens. Then what about the Kawhi thing, Nick? Like, okay, so Woj says he got hurt in Game 1. Well, he wasn't on an injury report in Game 2. He wasn't on an injury report in Game 3. And we all learned together a little less than 24 hours ago, oh, by the way, Kawhi has a sprained knee. He's not playing. And, oh, beyond this game, he's day-to-day. Oh, my God. Like, so, first of all, the notion of this not being on an injury report, speak to that. And then, secondly, what does this mean for the rest of this series?
Yeah, I mean, this surprised me as much as really any injury I could think of. You know, you get some shaky injury reporting in the postseason, especially. Like, you know, you think a couple days ago, back to that Milwaukee-Miami game, like, I thought for sure Giannis was playing in that game. I thought the doubtful tag was a little bit of gamesmanship by the Bucks.
We all did.
He's bumped up to questionable, and we're thinking, okay, here we go. And then they rule him out of nowhere. And in retrospect, it feels like they probably knew he wasn't playing, and it was gamesmanship, but just not in the way that we expected. I mean, this came completely out of nowhere, talking about Kawhi. And I thought it was interesting, you know, that they said he tweaked it in Game 1. It's like, okay, I watched all 48 minutes of Game 1. I don't remember Kawhi coming up limping or kind of grabbing at that knee at any point.
I don't either.
I certainly don't think he looked limited in Game 2 when he put up, what, 31 points and was the best player on the court for the second straight game. So, yeah, it's shocking. And I think given the guy that we're talking about, given the situation here, given that Paul George is also out, I don't think it's a given that we could just say Kawhi Leonard comes back. And you know, the Clippers are kind of at a schedule disadvantage here now because, you know, they play tomorrow night already, you know, really tomorrow afternoon, depending on where you are. And, you know, they're going to play Game 4 of that series before Grizzlies Lakers even tips off Game 3.
And if you're the Suns, you want to get out of this series now because given your depth issues, you want to get out of this series as quickly as possible at this point.
Oh, 100%. I mean, this is a huge, huge break for the Suns, who I think even if Kawhi stayed healthy, yeah, the Suns probably win this series. I think the, you know, the big four that they have probably outweighs some of the issues with that bench. But we saw it again last night. I mean, even without, you know, by far the two best players on the Clippers roster, that was very close to being a one possession game with 30 seconds left if Bones Highland hits that wide open three at the top of the key. Like, I think the Clippers, all things considered, have to feel pretty good about where they are right now, you know, given the injuries and given that the Suns shot almost 60% from the field in Game 2. I mean, all three of these games have been ultra competitive. And I think a lot of people coming in thought Phoenix would run away with the series. But you're right. I think now as you project out, it's like, okay, this went from being maybe a 6 or 7 game series to if Kawhi Leonard doesn't come back, I mean, the Suns, you got to think they have a good chance to take care of this in 5, rest up and prepare for the next round.
Yeah. What Paul George and Kawhi, what a disaster it's been just being on the court. It's the struggle to just get on the court. And then if Kawhi, this is a sports talk radio legacy thing, but it's like if he were to never really make any noise again postseason, watch the rest of his career, what a strange career. Like this mercurial talent that was great enough to win an NBA championship and then the rest of it clouded by just you could never trust him to be around for anything. And everything was secret. It was the whole thing. Last thing before we go, because I know you have two sides and you have a few props to get to tonight. But the Warriors get a victory last night. They were down 2-0. They get a win. I sort of compared it earlier this week. This could be like the 1960 World Series, which was famous for like the Yankees crushing the Pirates in 3 games and the Pirates squeaking by for it, you know, at home for themselves. I don't know if they were all at home. Bill Mazeroski, famous home run at the end for the Pirates. Does it feel that way to you? Like, does it feel like the Warriors are going to win every one of these home games just because that's how this works? But it's just about, can they take one of these road games? Simplified?
It does kind of feel that way. It does. And yeah, I've been waiting all series now, even after the Kings won the first two, for their shooting to come around. And look, they're not the Warriors when it comes to three-point shooting, but they're going to have trouble winning games, certainly in San Francisco and even in Sacramento the rest of the way, if this team continues to shoot 27% from three. And they're getting a ton of good looks. I mean, Golden State, yeah, without Draymond and without Gary Payton last night, too, which was huge. I think he was the guy that was probably going to step up most defensively. All of a sudden, he gets ruled out with an illness. I mean, the Kings just could not shoot the ball. Kevin Huerter's 3 of 20 from 3 in this series. De'Aaron Fox has been their best three-point shooter, and he's at 33%. Harrison Barnes is 4 of 14. Trey Lyles and Keegan Murray are 5 of 20. So I actually thought the Kings, you know, did fairly well to hang around in this game. When Steph Curry was going off, you know, the Warriors, especially through the first 3 quarters, were having a good shooting night. Just wasn't the Kings' night. We'll see if they can come back in Game 4, but I have a feeling, Gil, that this is going to be 2-2 heading back to Sacramento.
Yeah, Warriors a slight series favorite now at minus 115. Pretty accurate that it's close to a coin flip at this point to you?
I think so. The Warriors have been getting a lot of respect, though. Like, the books have been hesitant to kind of move things in favor of the
Kings. Come back, Nick. We'll get all your picks for tonight. That's next, right here on the Numbers.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Glad you got that right. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits yet another way. Too many to count. VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. What'd you think about Brian Ortega messing that up yesterday?
He was on a roll, and I heard that. I'm like, oh, Brian, you're not going to be welcome back now.
Yeah, one job, Brian.
It's the most important
thing. Brian was great with his restaurant recommendations yesterday. What did you, what did you call him? You called him a cinema snob, you called him?
Yes, he hates the Marvel movies. He detests them.
What's his line? He says, bad cinema.
Bad cinema. Well, he tells me, he goes, he didn't like the Marvel movies because it's like they're always trying to tell a story for the next one. I'm like, yeah, it's perfect. He goes, no, make that a TV show. I'm like, you just don't get it, man.
He's like 30 years old going on pompous 80, you know? I love it. I love that.
I got to a point where I was looking up the films that Martin Scorsese directed back in the...
Bad cinema.
And I'm like, I've seen like maybe 2 of these movies.
Nick Whalen, kind enough to hang out with us again. Nick, I ran you into the wall there very rudely before. Real quick before we get to all your picks tonight. Warriors-Kings feels like a coin flip to you at this point, even with the Kings up 2-1?
It does to me, but... Golden State stealing that game last night, and I'm using stealing pretty liberally because they were, 6-point favorites at home. So not exactly a steal for a team that's coming off of a title, but getting that win without Draymond Green and without Gary Payton, I feel like was kind of the reinvigoration that they needed, and especially because Golden State didn't even play that well. I mean, they shot 40% as a team. Outside of Steph Curry, nobody really had a standout game. I mean, Klay Thompson, 3 of 10, Jordan Poole, 1 of 7. From three. So I think if you're Golden State internally, you're saying, okay, we got the one we needed. We're going to be at home again in the next game. We'll win that. We're not going 0-3, you know, in Sacramento on those first three. So it did feel like, you know, it wasn't a must win by any means for the Kings. They took care of what they needed to in Games 1 and 2. But I think Golden State will get progressively better in this series. And I think we'll look back, you know, Sacramento will look back and say, man, if we had just shot the ball even marginally better in Game 3, we could have swung that result and potentially swung the series. But I think the updated series price, you know, reflects reality here.
Yeah, I do too. And you're right. I said this earlier. The Warriors win their first game this year shooting less than 41% from the field. Shot 40% and got it done. And they will have reinforcements now, if you will, coming back with Draymond and perhaps Gary Payton as well. Okay, so tonight, three games, three game threes. And the first and last of which are sort of the series that people are, you know, probably the least from a fan standpoint that excited about. But you happen to actually have conviction on the Celtics, Hawks, and the Nuggets, T-Wolves. Let's start there.
I'm just going with the favorites in these series. And, you know, I think you're right. This is, you know, I'm really looking forward to Cavs Knicks tonight, but, you know, Celtics Hawks has been just an all time snoozer of a first round series. Like, this feels like a throwback, like 2014 first round series where, you know, we're like the seven or the eight seed. You're like, why is this team even in the playoffs? And the Hawks have plenty of talent. They do. But they've never really put it together. This has been going on for like 2.5 years now. You know, they're cycling through coaches, they're cycling through teammates for Trae Young. And it's just a very average basketball team. And, you know, we've seen Boston, you know, kind of go through some lulls through these first two games, but the talent gap is really, really evident. I mean, the depth of the Boston Celtics, you know, they have the sixth man of the year in Malcolm Brogdon. You know, they're just so much better than this Atlanta Hawks team. And I don't think the series shifting to Atlanta really matters all that much. I mean, maybe a slight advantage in crowd for the Hawks, but, you know, it's not like you're going to Golden State or going to Sacramento when you're talking about that Atlanta crowd. So I'm very comfortable taking the Celtics team. The Hawks just don't have answers. And, you know, we said this with the Kings, but the Hawks are shooting 27% from three in this series. Like, you're just not going to beat a team or even come close to beating a team like the Celtics if you can't knock down threes.
And you feel the same about the Nuggets in the nightcap against the T-Wolves?
I do. I think, you know, we would probably see a bigger line here. It's Denver 2.5, which I think is fine as this series shifts to Minneapolis. But, you know, if Denver didn't just completely fall asleep in the third quarter the other night, they probably win that game by 20, just like they did in game one. And we're thinking they're rolling here. But I a lot of what I just said about Atlanta, I feel about Minnesota. You know, the Anthony Edwards factor, like him seemingly being back after putting up 40 in game two, you know, that's the one thing that can swing this series. But, you know, I think game two was a reminder that Karl Anthony Towns is a very good player. He is not a great player. He's not a dependable player in the postseason. I mean, he has a pretty disastrous record in these games, and he does not know how to play conservatively when he's in foul trouble. And it feels like he's in foul trouble every single game. Once he picks up that third foul, things just go haywire the rest of the game. And I think it kind of throws that team off. So Minnesota to me looks like a team that just knows they don't match up well with Denver. And through these first two games, I'm starting to wonder, like, did I maybe undervalue the Nuggets? Because Nikola Jokic has had like two B plus games. Like, it feels like they don't even really need him.
Yeah.
And they're having no trouble at all.
Yeah, you wouldn't be the only one, by the way, who undervalued the Nuggets heading into this postseason as a number one seed. So the game in between, which you don't necessarily have a bet on, but is probably of the three games tonight the one of most intrigue to folks, is game three of the Cavs-Knicks series. We go back now, or not back, but we go to the Garden, Madison Square Garden in New York for this one. Knicks 1.5-point favorites.
Yeah, this is going to be an awesome game. You know, obviously they've had home games at Madison Square Garden over the last decade, but I think this is going to be a wild environment because I feel like the fans know that they can win the series. You know, it's a little bit different when you're the seven or the eight seed and, you know, you're just maybe hoping to win one or two games. Like, I think Knicks fans expect to win the series, especially after they won game one. So, like you said, I don't have a bet on the spread here. It's at 1.5. It's been a tale of two games for Cleveland. You know, they look really flat in game one. They look fantastic. Coming out strong in the first half of game two. So I'm staying away there. I would lean under on that 211.5 total. You know, the Cavs really want to slow things down. They were able to dictate pace quite a bit better in game two. And obviously in game one, you know, both teams struggled to score. I do have a couple props in this game that I like. Emmanuel Quickley over 11.5 points. This is one of my favorite props in a while. And this is a six-man revenge game, right?
I was just going to say this. Yeah, is this a six-man revenge?
I thought he was going to win six-man. Yeah, right. What? I mean, like, I think everybody thought he was going to win, and all of a sudden, Malcolm Brogdon just zooms up to the front of the pack and wins it yesterday. I mean, you know that they're talking about this internally. You know Quickley wanted to win it. So I think he shows out big time. I mean, he didn't even play well in game two, and he still went over this number. He averaged 21 points per game in 22 games after the All-Star break. And I know they had some injuries, guys were in and out. I get that. But anytime you could get a prop that is like 10 points per game below what that player has been averaging, I will take that. I also like the over 1.5 made threes for Emmanuel Quickley. He's been a markedly better shooter at home. And then I'm looking at Josh Hart over 8.5 rebounds plus assists. This feels a little bit lower after a down game two for Hart. He's gone over this in rebounds alone in three of his last four games. And since the All-Star break, he's averaging 11 rebounds plus assists.
Now, let me ask you about the Emmanuel Quickly thing, because I was, you know, it is funny because it's sort of the six-man revenge game angle on him.
Right.
But you thought he was going to win. Did you think he was going to win based on your analysis of play on the court, or were you influenced by the betting market itself, which also led you to believe that?
I would say a little bit of both. A little bit of both. And I actually looked this up yesterday. Like, so it depends where you look. Like, there were different odds all over the place. Like, some books had Malcolm Brogdon, like, minus 150 on the last day of the season. Other books had Emmanuel Quickly minus 220. So
it
depends, you know, where you default to. But to me, like, most of the time, Gil, and I'm sure you feel this way tracking this stuff closely, like, if you're just following the NBA, you kind of feel like you know who's going to win every award. Like, the narrative usually crystallizes in the last month or so. And Emmanuel Quickly went on that run when Randall and Jalen Brunson were banged up, where he averaged like almost 30 points per game over a 10-game span. And I saw that, and I'm like, that's all I need to see, man. Like, how is he not going to win this award? Like, you know, the week before they vote on it, he just put up 40 points and then 39 a couple games later and then 30 a couple games after that. I thought that would be enough to steal it, but apparently not.
I've made this point before, and I'm certainly not alone, but I've made this point about awards markets, not just in the NBA, but in other sports, is sometimes weird. The phrase I've used is, we can be too close to the sun, right? If we're, and I'm not doubting that yours was an actual assessment of what was on the court, but a lot of people, like, if we see over and over again, day after day, week after week, that this person is a favorite and a prohibitive favorite, it does seep into our brain that this must be true then. And with awards, we're just assessing voters, right? And so we just don't know that. And as bettors, that is rife with pitfall, I guess, is what I'm saying. And here we have one of those examples where maybe that was part of this, right? Where maybe it's like, well, you might have done it sort of organically and as you should have, but others might have been influenced by, oh, well, it says that he's this, so he must be. Yeah, we don't know with some of these. And especially when it gets more nebulous with six man. So Malcolm Brogdon, by the way, is your sixth man of the year. Real quick then, you have a prop in the Celtics game as well.
I do. So I like the Celtics to win this game. I'm comfortable taking the number. And I think we could get a standout game out of Jaylen Brown, who was a little quiet in game two. One of those situations where he played well. They just didn't really need him. You know, they had so many guys contributing. But I like him over 25 and a half points tonight. This is another one that's below his season average in scoring. Like I said, didn't really need him in game two. But this feels like kind of a step on their throats game for Boston. Basically end this series tonight. And Jaylen Brown has actually been much better on the road this season. 38% from three on the road compared to 29% at home. And of course, he's an Atlanta guy. So a little bit of a homecoming narrative for him as well.
Nick, appreciate it. Enjoy the games. Good luck with all your bets, man.
Hey, will do, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nick Whalen from RotoWire at Whalen. That's the one for the L on Twitter. Jason Weingarten, Stormy Bonatoni, they're on deck. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm trying to get a clean sheet in tennis today. Again, these are all on the picks page. Because we're playing internationally, these matches go off before the show starts. That's why we're not talking about them on the show itself. But all of those, not just my picks, not just our guests on the show. We had a bevy of picks today from all of our guests, but every host on the network, every guest on the network, all of their picks at VSiN.com/picks on the picks page at VSiN.com/picks. But you got to subscribe. Got to be a subscriber. $9.99. Should I Ron Burgundy through some tweets, Wyatt, or do you not want to have that responsibility? Because this all falls on you if they go bad. Do you not want to do that?
I mean, yeah, sure. I could be the fall guy.
Okay. Let's see. Boop, ba-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop. Martle, of the 90.5% NBA playoff outrights, do you know the breakdown of dogs versus favorites? I do not. How's that for an answer? I do not know the breakdown of it. But it is, again, to give you the number from the beginning of last postseason, updated through yesterday. And yesterday was when a 22-in-a-row streak snapped with that Clippers-Suns game where the Suns won but did not cover as favorites. And remember, that was the game where the line shifted dramatically of all games. It's 106-11 90.5% either the favorite wins and covers or a dog wins outright. So only 9.5% of the time does a favorite win but not cover. So there's that. And then this is from Ted Henritzi. Hi, Gil. John Legesa just gave out two hitters on your show, Rudy and Julio. What were their names and teams they play for? Thanks. Oh, Rowdy, first of all, is the first name. Rowdy Tellez.
I say off to a bad start on that one. You're not going to find a Rudy.
Yeah, not going to find a Rudy. It's Rowdy. It's spelled like, you know, R-O-W-D-I-E. That's the way you spell Rowdy, Rowdy. I don't know. Does he spell I-E or Y?
No, he has a Y at
the end. He has a Y at the end, yeah. Rowdy. Rowdy Tellez. He plays for the Brewers, over 1.5 total bases. And Julio Rodriguez, J-Rod, for the Mariners, also over 1.5 total bases. John Legace got them both at plus 125. Shop around for both of those in their respective games. Let's go Under a Cloud of Smoke in Southern Cali at Spreadopedia is where you can find them on Twitter. It's Gambling Porn. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Morning. Doing pretty good. Had a nice baseball day yesterday. Just getting ready for the weekend.
How'd you go yesterday? How'd you do?
4-1 with some nice dogs. So way ahead on the week, and now I can enjoy the weekend.
All right. Well, what about today? What do you got today so far?
I got one play for today. Never know if it's going to be 5 or 10 or 1. And today it's 1. But I got the Royals. Royals plus 240.
Ooh.
Give me, you know, I love Shohei Ohtani. I'm his biggest fan.
But yes.
240. Come on.
I love it. So
did I lose you?
No, you didn't lose me. You didn't lose me. I was tongue-tied for a second because I always want to get to the bottom of, okay, what does your numbers have and all that kind of stuff. But you've stuck to sort of simple answers lately, which is just 240. Is that for you at this point? Is this just like a Malcolm Gladwell blink thing for you where you're just like, nope, I know that number instinctively is wrong. I'm playing it.
Sometimes, yes. Just the Angels in general. I've been following them fairly closely this season because – I think everyone knows the stakes are, astronomically high for the Angels the early portion of the season. And if they fall out of contention, that, they're going to have to make some serious decisions sooner than later. But, sort of just one of those things you learn in life that people show you who they are, teams show you who they are. The Angels have shown me who they are since the beginning of this season, since last season. Nothing's changed. They came out this season and said, we're going to fix all the stuff. All the problems we had last season, we're going out to compete. We're going to try to make the playoffs, this and that. And they go out and blow Ohtani's first start. I mean, they've shown you who they are. Give me plus 240. I don't buy this team is better than a 500 team. And they can't, it reminds me of something Dr. Bob says about winning. Winning is not something you just like turn on and decide to do. Must win games mean you must not be very good.
Yep.
I just don't think the Angels are very good.
That's Dr. Bob's quote. If you have a must-win situation, you must not be very good. This becomes for you sitting through this game. This becomes the old betting conflict where you're like, okay, I want the Royals to win for my bet. I just don't want Ohtani to look that bad. Kind of experience.
Royals just win 1-0. Fine by me.
There you go.
You 1-0.
That'll be perfect.
But no, I mean, I want Ohtani to go out and give up 0 earned runs and 10 strikeouts every start, and he might do that, but Ohtani can't pitch all 9 innings, and the Angels haven't had an off day in like a week and a half. They don't have an off day for another week. They're playing 17 straight days, coming back from that East Coast road trip. They flew back last night. I mean, I fly east to west every once in a while. It's not very fun. I don't have to get up and play a baseball game the next day.
You also probably fly a different way than they fly, but that's a whole nother thing.
But I mean, it's still, they played in New York yesterday, flew home. You got to get in your car and drive through traffic through LA. I mean, they're going to show up exhausted today.
East to west against the jet stream is never fun. It's never fun that direction. Okay, so I'm always curious about the other things you bet, and I'm just sort of doing this on the fly because you're always coming up with random stuff. Stormy is about to join us, and she does a lot of XFL stuff. She obviously is on the XFL broadcast, and we'll talk to her about how she's incorporated betting into that. They're in their final week of the regular season. They're about to head into the semifinals. Do you bet any XFL, and more succinctly also now, do you bet any USFL that's about to start? Or that has already started,
I should say. I have not bet the USFL yet.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to betting the USFL. I just haven't had time to sit down and go through the teams and rosters and everything associated with betting. I do bet a little bit on the XFL, not as much as I probably could. but I don't follow it super closely. I've watched a couple games. It's not like terrible football. It's just, you know, my viewing time, I choose usually to watch golf or baseball over XFL still.
Have you stayed true to your sort of baseball resolution that you would bet fewer futures as the season went on? I hope I'm describing that accurately.
Or more focused.
Yes.
Approach.
A more focused approach.
Instead of splat, you know. I have, but mostly because, you know, I feel like the markets have limited the options with, you know, it's Ohtani versus everyone in the AL. I don't really feel like, you know, finding more value on the everyone else side. I added some more Trey Turner at 25-1 this week. I thought that was a great price at FanDuel. For the NL MVP, the Cy Youngs, I've gotten a little more involved in the Cy Youngs. I bet some Julio Urias because Alcantara faltered a little bit. Looks like it's Urias and Strider kind of competing up top there. Urias pitching today, by the way. I'll watch that this afternoon from Chicago. And the Rookie of the Year, I mean, there's just it's so early. Like we saw with Michael Harris last year, the race didn't even start till Harris got called up. So, you know, I just don't want to prematurely build too big of a position, and then, you know, you just never know who's going to get called up. There's always a guy every year. It was Zach Neto last week. There's still, you know, Mason Miller this week. There's
what about
plenty
the kid
of guys coming up that weren't on the radar.
Yeah, what about the kid from the Mets that just came up too? Because that is it Beatty, where all of a sudden, like, he was 40-1, and then everybody started betting him
80-1 at Westgate. I tried to bet him on Saturday at 80-1. They pulled the market when the game started. I just missed it. But that's the thing, is I have Jordan Walker. I have some Josh Outman. You know, Corbin Carroll's likely going to be a finalist. There's only three finalists. I could think of like four, five, six guys in the National League. Kodai Senga, you know, you just mentioned the guy I got called up. I'm already just blanking on his name, but you just mentioned him. Batty.
Brian
sorry.
Batty. Yeah.
But that's, you know, there's only so many guys. Like, that's the problem, is I want to bet on all these guys, but, you know, I also just don't want to be in a position where I'm holding all these tickets, and I know, you know, there's only three finalists. So, you know, I was okay missing that one, but I do think he's a legit contender as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's one thing to bet him. By the way, it's Brett Batty. It's not Brian Batty. Pardon me. Brett Batty, where it's 80-1 is one thing. 40-1 is another thing. But then by the time, you know, you get to the book, because you're hearing, oh, he's out there, but they put him up, he's 14-1. At that point, you shouldn't be betting him, correct? Like, you can't.
Very little value at 14, you know, at the low numbers, especially if you're going to have multiple runners. I did get Zach Neto 50-1. BetMGM opened him 50. A lot of the other books opened him between 6 and 12. Nobody could figure out what to open him at. Thought that was a good bet. I also like his teammate Logan Ohapi. He's leading the Angels in RBIs, playing catcher every day. I mean, that's, you know, pretty significant for a rookie, getting all those catcher innings, kind of important. I think he's a legitimate Rookie of the Year contender too.
It really is, though. It just speaks to how, like, there is a, you have to fight yourself on some of these. To, like, okay, I said I wasn't going to bet all these people. I'm not going to bet all these people. A daily struggle for those who follow baseball, like a Jason Weingarten. Jason, thank you. Enjoy the weekend, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, you could always buy the baseball cards of the guys if you don't want to bet on them. That's what I do sometimes to get the
You
fix.
Could do that. That's true. You could do that as well. Thank you. Stormy Bonnettone on the XFL in studio next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online and bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Of course, BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. This is I don't know if we can file this under breaking news, but I guess it is, because one of these names will be certainly huge to some. But the National Football League, this is per Bleacher Report, National Football League is suspending five players for violating the league's gambling policy. This obviously came up when Calvin Ridley managed, in the short time that Florida had legalized betting, to put in a parlay, was suspended for a year, cost him $11 million in terms of a contract value. He'll be back with the Jaguars this upcoming season. But the NFL has now suspended five players for violating the league's gambling policy, the biggest name of which here would be Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams. We don't know the details of the actual gamble here. We don't know if it was a parlay or any of that, so which is just coming down. But four Detroit Lions have been suspended. Jameson Williams for six games. Wideout Stanley Berryhill for six games. Wideout Quintez Cephas for indefinitely, by the way. Safety C.J. Moore indefinitely. Those are all Detroit Lions, currently rostered by the Lions. And then the Commanders defensive end Shaka Toney indefinitely as well. So five suspensions.
I will say, so Ian Rappaport put out on the major gambling suspensions this morning, those suspended at least a year were found to have gambled on NFL games. Those suspended six games placed bets on college games, but from their facility.
But from their facility. Yeah. So you can't do it from the facility is the point of those?
I think so, yeah. I think they got caught making a bet in the practice facility, yeah, something like that.
Wow. So the three that are indefinite, Lions, Quintez Cephas, C.J. Moore, and the Commander Shaka Toney, they bet on the NFL. Jameson Williams and Stanley Berryhill, not on the NFL, but from their facility. Those are the two six-game suspensions. Well, didn't expect to start the Stormy segment with that, but Stormy Bonatoni is kind enough to join us. She's on her way to film a commercial over at Circus, so she thought she'd stop in. We appreciate it. She's co-host of the Lombardi Line. How you doing, Stormy? First
Good.
Time on the show.
Yes, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming in.
It's crazy news. It makes me think about when I used to work for the Mountain West Conference, like when I worked for a collegiate league, and you couldn't bet on anything that was an NCAA sport or a professional sport that had an NCAA championship. So I couldn't even make like a bracket for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
None of that kind of stuff when I worked for the league.
We all know some pro athletes who are who like to gamble. We'll see them in town. But they're very careful not to bet on their sport, just as long as it's some, you know, another sport.
I know it was even an adjustment period for Pritch talking about betting football.
Right.
Like it took him a minute to be able to step into that light.
So you're doing some. I've been meaning to say this to you. I've actually said this on the show before, and we'll get to that. Which is, you do XFL broadcasts, and I want to get to some of these games here. But one of the things that you have been so instrumental in, and maybe you are the only instrument in doing this, and so you deserve a lot of credit, is you have managed to incorporate betting talk into XFL broadcasts. Has that been a sort of evolution? Like, I'm sure day one you weren't like, let's talk betting, and everybody was like, sure, let's do it. Did it take a while, or did they trust you? Like, how did that go?
It was very much so something that from the XFL and from ESPN, knowing my background here with what I do at VSiN, was encouraged for me to do from the jump. And there are, I mean, if anyone has watched any of these XFL broadcasts, you see the spread and you see the total on the score bugs, which
right.
I just think is awesome. And
yes.
I would love to see that in everything that we do.
Do we give you credit for that? Yes.
No, I wish, if only. Okay. A girl can dream. But it has been super well received, and we did kind of take it slower from the start, but it's been great to incorporate. And I love having my normal sideline notes with me and then also just my phone live on Caesars Sportsbook, checking live lines throughout the course of the broadcast and seeing where there could be opportunities for people to jump in and helping share a little bit of strategy of what it is to live bet and how different the XFL is for betting in general because of their scoring structure. Instead of it just being an extra point or a two-point conversion, they have an opportunity for a three-point conversion after a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, we learned that.
You know, the fourth and 15 to keep the game alive. Live instead of an onside kick. They do a lot of fun stuff.
I was telling, when I came back from vacation, I was telling some story. Steve Fezzik, who's a big bettor in town and friend of the show, friend of the network. He's on with Patrick and Amal all the time on Mondays. I was on vacation and he was texting us. He was like, St. Louis, this line against, I wish I could remember who they were playing early. I think it was, don't hold me to it, but I think it was against San Antonio. But
that week one game?
Week one game, yeah. So they were down. First of all, he was like, oh, this line is wrong. You got to pound St. Louis. And because it was Fezzik, I'm on vacation. I'm like, yeah, good enough for me. So we bet it. St. Louis, of course, is way down. And the three-point conversion came into play. First of all, the onside kick decision. Mm-hmm. Instead of the onside kick, let's do the fourth and 15, was it? Fourth
mm-hmm.
and 15?
Yep.
And then they went for the 3 points from 15 yards or 10 yards
10
out.
Yards, yeah.
10 yards out. And so we're like, oh, sure. That's exactly the traditional, you know, eschew the onside kick, then go for the 3-point conversion that got them the win and the cover in the process.
Yeah. And it was a very similar thing that happened last week with the game that I was on with DC and Arlington, where Arlington storms back from, like, scored 17 unanswered points. They did the 4th and 15, end up tying the game and forcing overtime. The last 2 weeks of the XFL season were the first time that we had seen overtime all year. And even that's different and fun because it's kind of like a hockey shootout or a soccer shootout where each team goes for it from a couple yards out. And you just alternate and see who ultimately wins. But they're worth 2 points each time you do it. So it just changes the way you have to think about it a little bit.
Do we have your guarantee that this league is not going to disappear?
There's no guarantees in anything in life, my friend.
Yes.
But it definitely seems like what Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and Danny Garcia have put together has been a model that should last at least for beyond this year, which I think is exciting considering how many spring leagues we've seen fold after 1 year. That they do have 2-year contracts at least for now, and then hoping to build on that.
So let me ask you this. It's the last week of the regular season. The semifinals are about to start. The Defenders, the DC Defenders, everybody,
yes.
They have already clinched the XFL North, and the Houston Roughnecks have already clinched the XFL South. They're playing games this weekend. Should we be fading them in these games? Like, I'm always looking for an angle on these.
Yes. So with DC, I would say no, specifically just because their head coach, Reggie Barlow, is very much so of like, we want to win every game that is humanly possible.
And they are 3.5-point favorites.
And they are favorites. And they've really struggled in the second half of games, which I think Barlow wants these guys to be playing their best going into the playoffs. And so while I'm not sure we're going to see their quarterback, Jordan Ta'amu, play or play long if he is in there, same thing with their star running back, Abram Smith. Derek King is still their backup, and he's been great for them. And Ryquell Armstead on the ground has been as well. So I feel like even if you have their backups in there, they're going to be the better team against San Antonio, if you take away the 2 games against Orlando, is averaging like 12.2 points per game.
So definitely not then in that
so,
game.
So, yeah, I am not a fan of San Antonio, in a must-win. We always say, right, must-win doesn't mean you will.
Yeah, so. No. Must-win doesn't mean – it was the Dr. Bob line we just quoted. It was must-win situation means you must not be that good. And then Houston-Arlington, which is a coin flip.
So Houston-Arlington's an interesting situation because if San Antonio loses, like I anticipate they do, that means Arlington also will have cemented their spot.
Gotcha.
And so that game is Saturday, whereas the Arlington-Houston game is on Sunday.
So there could be a correlated parlay involved on a Saturday-Sunday thing.
Yes. So Houston, I do know they already have an understanding that they are going to rest guys. They just want to get out of it healthy. Arlington's trying to build some chemistry with Luis Perez, who they brought in at quarterback. So maybe they're trying to continue those reps and whatnot. But either way, this could just be very much so like a glorified scrimmage. If there is a bet you want to get ahead of early, I think the under would certainly be the play to make. Otherwise, just wait, I guess,
no,
for
but, the but that's interesting because that Saturday outcome could affect the Sunday game kind of thing. Okay, we rarely ask this kind of broad question on shows like this because we're too cool for school on a gambling network, but who wins the XFL this year then? Who's the champion ultimately?
I think that the Defenders win it. They've been the best team throughout the course of the season. They have the two mobile quarterbacks play kind of like a college-style offense more so than any other team in the league, and I also am biased because I have futures on them. But
what are your numbers on them?
I got 5-1 on them. They're longest odds were +750, and I didn't get down on that, unfortunately, preseason. But I have 5-1 on them, and I also have 10-1 on the Sea Dragons. So I'm hoping they get out of this weekend. And then, basically, I just have whoever wins the North to win the championship.
+110 is not good enough to play them right now?
I wouldn't
do it. All right, you're headed to Circa to film a What's the Guarantee commercial?
What's the guarantee? But I don't have to scream it from a zip line this year.
Well, that's what we said earlier. They made you do a zip line. They're not making you do anything this time?
I actually volunteered as tribute for the zip line last year. That was very fun. But this time, I think I just get to have a cocktail in my hand sitting at a bar, so I can't complain there either.
You deserve credit because people who know that zip line, you can do the sitting one or the Superman one, and you did the Superman one.
Superman.
Good on
Superman
you.
Superman or bust.
Stormy, stop by more often. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Stormy Monotone, co-host of The Lombardi Line, which she's been doing in studio with Michael all this time here in the early goings of that show. We've done all we could do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.